She was Mistress Six out here with her toys, not his newly unveiled Simone. But he had not acquired something for himself to pass the time. She couldn't touch, but she could play, and he'd given her that. However, it was his party, the kind of party he didn't give frequently, but he threw regularly. And he'd always enjoyed the opportunity to provide his friends, people who shared his way of life, a different scene, a fantastic one, that they could use to partake in that way of life. And he partook too. Always. But she'd just orchestrated a load being shot from a heavy, hard cock on the big, beautiful body of an exceptional alpha submissive. Stellan allowed it, was the man behind it, and he got nothing but knowing he gave her that. It was then she moved her head around in a hazy way, taking in a pool she'd been to before, but didn't take in the way she was taking it in right then. The smart, expensive deck furniture, the well-maintained, attractive landscaping, the theme of bright Mexican pots overflowing with succulents, carried through from the front, dotted everywhere. Pots that someone had to cultivate, and that someone wasn't Stellan. The pool deck was travertine edged in brick, expensive and not dusty or dirty, and the pads on the furniture were pristine white. In the kitchen, the island had been covered in fabulous displays of food, flanked with lavish beverage dispensers filled with fruit and ice, offering two types of sangria, as well as margaritas. There were also buckets filled with bottles of beer, chilled white wine and champagne. There were a goodly number of people there, but there was so much of all of that, half of it would be thrown out, maybe more. They couldn't consume all that. And then there was going to be a sit-down dinner.
"This turn of events makes me happy for you."
It was Lee speaking, and the change in her timbre of voice, like she was a soft-spoken general imparting an important message to her troops, had Six's vague gaze moving to her.
"Stellan and you. You've always been somewhat reserved. This was your way. But since your return, this intensified to the point, I must admit, to having some concern for you. It seemed something had happened to you while you were gone, something you weren't sharing."
"Now I see what you were searching for. Stellan, too. He would never, not ever be content with someone who did not share that common bond. You were meant for each other, no less equal than a partner who fits the unique puzzle that is the two of you, forming the perfect picture. But a different kind of equal, not two halves that make a whole. Two like-minded souls who share a vital understanding."
"I've got to go," Six stated urgently, jumping off the lounge like it had just caught on fire.
"Sorry? What?"
She put her sangria down on an attractive table that was handy, of course, shoved her feet in her slides, and took off, moving toward the house.
"Catch you guys later."
"Six," Lee called.
Six kept moving, eyes to her feet that were directing her to the house. She opened the French door, shoving her sunglasses up into her hair immediately. She moved into the kitchen dining room space and avoided looking at the sprawling banquet Stellan had his housekeeper lay out for his guests. Her clutch and bag were in his room. She didn't give a shit about the bag, but her key fob was in her purse, and she needed that to get into her car and get the hell out of there. She darted toward the stairs, but didn't hit that first step, since she was stopped when a set of strong fingers closed around her elbow.
"Simone,"
Stellan whispered, drawing her around to face him. She stared at his chest.
"I have to go. Something I forgot I had to do.
Sweetheart.
His hand was coming up like he was going to touch her face. She flinched, tore her elbow from his grip, and started to rear back. But she didn't get far before she was plastered to his body, her head immobilized by his hand clamped on the side of her neck, his thumb at her jaw, forcing it up. She looked to his ear.
What's happened?
He asked. I really need to go, she told his ear.
Look at me, honey.
A job I forgot about, she lied and kept doing it. I'll call you.
What did Lee say?
She shook her head against his grip. You need to, she cleared her throat.
I mean, I need to go.
And he gave Ami permission to do what he wanted with Jennifer. But you, I mean, I'm going. You should, if Victor's being generous, you should play with her.
Right,
he gritted, letting her go, but only to alter the way he'd been holding her. He clasped his fingers around her biceps and dragged her up the stairs, down the hall, into his room. This was good. Her clutch was there. It was bad when he slammed the heavy, also ornately carved, door, closing them both in. He yanked her around to his front and clamped a hand on the side of her head, fingers in her hair, palm under her jaw, face in hers in a way she had no choice but to look up at him.
What the fuck is happening?
He bit out. You know me, she found her lips whispering.
I'm trying to,
he retorted.
You know my name. Yes,
he agreed curtly.
You know me.
Stellan went still.
Oh, yes, he knew her.
I don't belong here, she told him.
Simone.
Stop calling me that, she hissed. I'm six.
Darling.
Stop calling me that, too, she snapped.
Please, take a breath and calm down.
How much did this house cost? She asked. An irritated storm cloud of confusion hit his expression.
It was hot.
Fuck.
What does that matter?
He asked back. Only someone who could afford this kind of house would ask that, she retorted. That shut him up. It also cleared up that cloud, but he didn't let her go. Do you have any idea how much that spread cost to lay out? Or do you just dump cash in an account for Margarita and tell her to go for it? She pushed.
If you'd calm down,
he said, now using a warm, even tone.
I could explain to you, in a way you'll understand, why that doesn't matter.
I'm not a sub, she stated bitingly.
No, you're not. You're six. Mistress Six, with a devoted following. You're not a sub, I know that, not for anyone, but me.
Not even for...
Not for anyone but the men in your life who you can trust to be your true self. Trust to keep that safe.
She snapped her mouth shut. Stellan didn't.
You gave it to Arius, who you adore, and you give it to me.
Holy God. Their sessions were closed. They'd been closed. God damn, Arius. He'd lost his patience and interfered.
How do you know this?
She asked, the words coming out breathy.
Because I had Branch Dillinger investigate you. And he's thorough.
Worse. Her stomach dropped to her feet, and her voice pitched high and panicked. Dillinger knows? Stellan slid his hand back to cup her nape, and with his other arm, which was latched around her waist, he pulled her closer into his body.
He will say nothing.
No one gets to know me.
He'll say nothing, sweetheart.
They can't know me.
Because you don't want them to know you?
Because you let people in and they fuck you over. And in terms of the life I lead, that kind of fucking over gets you dead. Those words set his face to stone.
You don't live that life anymore, Simone.
I was born to that life, Stellan, And when that's the case, that kind of slime never washes away. And more fool the person who tries to pretend it does.
That's not true,
he returned. And how would you know?
Because I was born to slime too, darling. The designer kind. And it took a sandblaster, but I washed that fucking shit away. And I will never tolerate it coming back and infesting the life I built without that slime in it.
She shut up. He stared at her. And it was then he knew. He knew that she knew about him, too.
So he asked after that, "Do you know as a matter of course, since it plays out in the press? Or did you look into me?"
Six said nothing. He still got his answer.
"Was it after what happened Tuesday night, or before?"
he asked. She kept her mouth shut.
"Before," he murmured, studying her closely. "How long have you wanted me, honey?"
Her eyes slid away, this giving him another silent answer. His fingers gripped her scalp.
"Look at me."
Her eyes slid back.
"What did Lee say?"
he demanded. "That she's happy for us. That we're not two halves that make a whole. We're two souls who share a vital understanding. She said we were meant for each other." His gaze softened and warmed. And watching the beauty of that set a panic in her that was so extreme, it made Six prepare to fight in order to get free.
"What did I say about you pulling away?"
he murmured. She calmed. Instantly. God. With no other direction to go, she fell forward, planting her face in his chest. His hand slid up to cup the back of her head, his arm around her closed tighter, and she felt his lips hit her hair. God.
"She was beautiful,"
he murmured. "Who?"
"Seely."
Lord. She closed her eyes. His sister. His sister who committed suicide. Because of his father, among other more terrible reasons. Yes, he knew she knew. And yes, he'd grown up with slime, too.
"We have a lot to learn about each other, Simone. All I ask for in the present, until we can start to do that in a meaningful way, is that you please, just be you."
She opened her eyes and saw white linen. But she felt strength, power, warmth. And it was then she realized she'd never been held this way. Not once. In her life. Fuck. Were those tears in her eyes?
"Be me?"
she asked, her words muffled by his chest, which she hoped hid the throaty that came from the effort of her trying to get her shit together.
"Strong. A survivor. A winner. Come back downstairs with me. Eat, drink, enjoy your friends. Stay close to me this time so I can look after you. And when they're gone, we'll make our deal and take it from there."
"Stellan, really? I don't belong..."
"If you say you don't belong here one more time, I swear to fuck, darling, I'll lash you naked to my bed, gagged and blindfolded, and spank you so long and hard you'll be glad I've left you on your belly. But your fine ass will sting so badly, just the air in the room will be torture. And I'll go down, eat, drink, enjoy my friends, and return to play with you for as long as it takes to make you beg for release. Something you won't get until you apologize for being so immensely insulting to yourself. Then, and only then, will I let you come."
Six pressed her lips together to stop herself from talking. Or maybe moaning.
"Are these words heard?"
he prompted. She stared at his linen-covered chest, trying to figure out if she should say what he told her not to say, just to see if he'd do what he promised, or if she just wanted to ask him to do it.
Say yes, Stellan,
he ordered. Yes, Stellan, she echoed. Her cheek moved with the huge breath he took in, and it moved again when he let it out. Though I'm not sure I'm good with going back down there, she shared. I took off, acting like a frigging idiot. He pulled her head out of his chest, tilting it back to look up at him as he looked down at her.
Do you really give a fuck?
He asked, brows raised. Thinking about it, she kind of didn't. It was Lee, and Leany, and the rest. They were cool. No, she answered. He smiled, and the miracle happened again. He got freakishly more handsome.
Do you think they care?
He asked. Yes, I've never done anything like that. They're probably worried about me.
About the acting like an idiot part,
he amended.
Considering the fact you didn't, they wouldn't think that. They'll just be worried about you.
What do I say to them? She asked, because she didn't know. She always had it together. It was imperative in her line of work, for one, but also to keep her shit tight so it didn't blow apart, for another.
It's none of their business?
He asked back in answer. Well, I've never really been just one of the girls, but I've been around them enough to know that doesn't work. He started chuckling, and through it said,
I'm sure you'll think of something.
Her gaze drifted away as she nodded.
Right, darling. Let's head back down so they can stop worrying about you.
He started to make a move, but it was then she realized. She had her hands fisted in his shirt at his sides, and she didn't let go. In fact, she pressed those fists in and called, Hey. He stopped moving and looked down at her, brows again raised. He looked hot like that, too. Lord. She totally belonged to him. And it felt good. Damn. Are you cool with me and Ami? I mean, she started.
Did you enjoy watching him perform for you?
She nodded.
Then yes, I'm cool.
You're not... You don't have...
I have you.
Not down there.
I still have you.
But we haven't really...
We will.
But...
You're a dom, Simone.
He stated firmly. She didn't reply.
A specific kind of dom, actually.
He continued.
You know precisely how gratifying it is to give someone something they need without getting anything in return. It remains to be seen, though I doubt it'll be better than the orgasms you'll be giving me. But it's still a beautiful thing that means a good deal to me. Giving you something you need. Watching you while you have it. Seeing how much you enjoy it. But I'd prefer if you just had it, without worrying about it, because that worry pollutes the beauty it gives to me.
Okay then, hot stuff. I'll play with that meat guilt-free, she muttered. She was about to look away, at the same time break away, when her body arrested totally. This was because his expression changed totally. She stood in his hold, staring into his eyes, suspended in time, simply taking in his sheer male beauty, which was excruciatingly more beautiful with that look on his face. Eventually, as ever with Stellan, she could take no more. What? She whispered.
Hot stuff?
He whispered back. Was that offensive? Coarse? Common?
Fuck,
he growled. And then, he kissed her. At first, Six stood still in his hold under the gentle assault of his mouth. It didn't take long before his taste and touch and smell and feel permeated, making her melt into him slide her arms along his trim waist, press close, tip her head further back, and open herself for more. It was like she'd never been kissed. But she had never been kissed like this, with that wonderful, wet, tender attentiveness that was all about giving, making her feel warm, wanted, safe. Tingly. He broke the kiss, and she almost whimpered at the loss. Instead, she stayed pressed to him, open to him, and the experience as he touched his forehead affectionately to hers for a far too brief moment, the fingers of one of his hands stroking her spine, and murmured, "We should return." She didn't want to return. She wanted to live in his room in this moment with him until she was no longer breathing. Warm, wanted, safe. "All right," she replied. He let her body go, but took her hand and led her back down the stairs. As they went, Six didn't look at the paintings on the walls or feel the thick carpet runner under her slides, or the cool of the air conditioning that had to be a bitch of a bill for a place that size. She just followed where Stellan was leading and headed back to the pool party. 6. Bullshit and Bravado. Stellan. Stellan stood in the open French doors, looking out at his lit pool, beside which Simone was standing with Talia, Mira, Belle, and Lee, chatting. He was trying to understand how she could make him like what she was wearing now, better than her plunge-front scarlet-red bathing suit, with the graphic print sarong tied around her hips, and the gold tangled in her cleavage. Totally unconsciously, she looked like a woman who belonged on a beach on the French Riviera, or a yacht off Capri, not poolside in Phoenix, both when she was in her swimsuit, and now. It didn't take long for him to understand. She'd collared herself for him. In her state, she might not have realized what she'd unintentionally done. But as a dom, she absolutely fucking knew. This meant he was fighting going hard, seeing the evening Simone that had replaced daytime Six, the woman who had graced the foot of his table at dinner, and was now standing, holding a martini glass in her hand with the gin martini he'd made her in it, talking to her friends. After her shower, she'd done up her face in a shimmering palette of peaches and pinks that highlighted and defined and made her natural appeal instantly alluring. On her body was a strapless sheath made of supple cream leather that was not skin tight, but instead fit her exceptionally. Clinging where it should, giving where it should, emphasizing her figure to perfection. And on her feet were rose gold high-heeled sandals with two thin straps across the toes that had tiny buckles, and more thin straps around the ankles. She had long rose gold hoops in her ears, a sleek rose gold bangle at her wrist, and a wide sheet of shining rose gold collared around her neck. Her short hair and the elegant length of her neck accentuated it perfectly. And honest to Christ, Stellan had no idea how he wasn't showing his guests to the door so he could power through their talk and then finally get her in his bed.
"So, she okay?"
Stellan turned and looked at Ollie, who'd positioned himself in the other open door, his eyes aimed at the pool, but not at Ollie's woman, Amélie, at Simone. After the pool party, Ollie had showered and changed into jeans and a light salmon linen shirt that was quite like Stellan's. And the reason why he was standing right there was not a mystery.
"Lee sent you in to get the true story?"
Stellan queried. Ollie looked to Stellan, grinning.
You guessed it. Six acting all. It's groovy now when you guys came back after, whatever went down. Did not cut it with my Lily.
Stellan shook his head, his lips twitching, and looked back to Simone.
She's fine.
She wasn't. However, her panic attack was good. She got some of what was infecting her out. So she wasn't fine, but she was better.
You pretty much know this is gonna be the talk of the honey for, oh, I don't know, maybe the next decade?
Ollie noted.
I do pretty much know that, and I much more than pretty much don't give a fuck.
Stellan replied and heard Ollie chuckle.
Well, man, we're gonna take off before you kick our asses out so you can bounce on that. But I'm gonna say what I gotta say before Lily gets up in my shit and makes me have a sit-down with you to say it.
That had Stellan turning his attention away from Simone and giving it again to Ollie. And Ollie looked uncomfortable, which did not bode well. The man had a natural confidence that was so deep-seated, it came out even when he was subbing during a scene.
What's that?
Ollie seemed to have to rip his eyes from the pool to give them to Stellan.
You're gonna have to give it up, bud.
Stellan felt his brows snap together.
Sorry? For her,
he went on, tipping his head toward the pool.
That guy you got her, he rocks it, but he's not you. And she might be okay with that for now, but that's not gonna last. She's gonna need it from you.
Stellan straightened, now feeling his face get hard, and turned to Ollie.
This really has nothing to do with you,
he said low.
I know,
Ollie replied genially, but still uncomfortably.
But I saw it. Lee saw it. Everyone else was watching her sub. We were watching Six. And she was looking at him, but she was thinking of you. You might not understand this, but that's the point. I do understand it, Stellan, and I'd say I'm in the position to understand it more than you.
He returned quietly. Stellan made no reply because the friendly, helpful bastard was right.
She's switching for you?
Ollie asked.
If Six shares that with Lee, that's her prerogative. But no offense, Ollie, it's not mine to share with you. She's switching for you,
he muttered. Now Stellan was getting angry.
We had a rough start, he reminded Ollie. We smoothed that out. Lee means a great deal to me. I'd prefer that something didn't happen to change where you and I are at. I would too. And not just because Lee thinks the world of you, but because you're a solid guy, and I like you. She wants you to be happy, and I'll give you it honestly. I do too. I don't know Six very well. She's a pretty closed book. But this is making Lee happy. And if it does that for her, it does it for me.
When he said nothing more, Stellan asked,
Why do I think you're not finished? Because I know you got it in you, man, to go the distance to give the one you've obviously decided is, the one, everything she needs. And we both know how I know that. Whatever Six is working through, I'm standing here as your friend, telling you, don't play games. The stakes are too high. I've watched her work. Thin stream of seriously fucking chilly that's not my gig, but has most of the male subs gagging for it. Today, quick thaw. It was all about heat. But her doing that guy, playing it like that, and she doesn't lay a finger on him? My guess, and I'm thinking it's a pretty fucking accurate one, that no-touch business was at your demand. Then, clearing out like she did, she's dealing with something deep. You fuck around when you got a woman whose head is jacked up. She'll slip through your fingers, I'm not 16 with my first crush,
Stellan returned. I nearly lost her. Stellan drew a sharp breath in through his nose at this blunt sharing, but he said nothing.
I had shit jacking with my head, and I didn't give it to my Lily. Instead, I fucked it all up and nearly lost her.
I don't have shit jacking with my head, Stellan pointed out.
I know, you got it going on.
What I'm saying is, be Lee.
Be Lee?
She doesn't play games, Stellan, Ollie continued. It's all out there.
No matter who you are in Lee's life, if she's feeling you, you know it.
Six is not under any impression. She doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, today.
But you built a gladiator pit for her, Stellan, Ollie said quietly.
And I've been watching your dance.
You've barely looked at her in months.
And we didn't know why you did it until today.
But you built a fucking sex show for her that, according to Lee, is raking in the green.
You're trying to tell me you're not playing games?
He shook his head. You got any clue how much she watches you? Stellan looked back to Simone by the pool with Talia, Mira, Belle, and Lee, talking. She was smiling her cat smile that, when she was playing mistress, would make any male sub or dom instantly go hard. Out by his pool with her friends, it was different. No less appealing, just pretty and sweet. But she still seemed removed, protecting herself. Protecting herself from people who care about her. Which she would do, because instinctually, since she'd never had that kind of bounty, she'd still know it was the worst kind of thing to lose.
How much does she watch me?
He whispered.
Anytime you aren't looking, man.
He knew she watched him, but not that much.
That felt very good, and could go very badly.
Right there before his eyes, protecting herself from people who care about her.
Yes, it could go very badly. I never said it, and I'll say it now,
Ollie went on, changing the subject because he was a decent man and good at being a friend, and Stellan looked back to him.
I was out of line in the halls that night, getting in your face. Should have shown you respect.
You're just being Ollie now, Stellan said slowly, not losing eye contact.
We both know who was out of line that night, and it wasn't you.
Ollie grinned at him.
It didn't take long before that grin faded. Winning feels good until you look over at the loser. Makes you feel better when you see him get his win. Don't fuck up your win, Stellan. I'm just saying, you got good from Lee. But if you ever need me, bud, you got the same from me, and you know how to find me.
Christ, next thing I know, you're going to invite me for beers with you and Dillinger and your friend, the owner of the Bolt.
The grin came back. Barclay, he shared. And we could use a dom in our party. Get Arias to pitch up. Start evening out our numbers. You guys could add the class.
Stellan did not return the smile.
You're standing there for me, but you're also standing there for her. And you should know it's not unappreciated. You should also know it's unlikely I'll take you up on your offer to find you, should I need to talk to somebody. But that's not unappreciated either. Last, you should know, I don't drink beer. I don't hang with the guys. I make money. I spend money. I travel. I read. I drink wine, scotch, and vodka martinis. I eat good food, and I fuck. But again, the offer is not unappreciated.
Ollie burst out laughing. Not finished doing it, he said.
I eat good food, too.
Stellan shook his head, turned it, and stilled when he saw they had five pairs of feminine eyes on them. Lee's looked soft and happy, her man and her friend who'd had a rough start, standing together talking, laughing. Simone's looked guarded, like she thought what she was experiencing was happy, and she didn't quite understand the feeling.
How about I round up all these lingering assholes who won't get with the program and leave you alone with your woman so you can get some alone time with your woman?
Ollie suggested, and Stellan looked back at him.
If you do that, I'll buy you a yacht.
Ollie again started chuckling.
Spread you put on today, Stellan? Least I can do.
Good party. Thanks for asking us.
My pleasure,
Stellan murmured. Ollie got close and clapped him on the back. Stellan didn't share he was a handshake man. He just lifted up his chin. Ollie strolled out. Stellan watched him go.
Lang, out of here. Say goodbye to her for me.
Stellan looked again to his side to see Ami, who Simone had wanted to stay for dinner, so he'd showered and put on clothes and stayed for dinner. He was standing there, also in jeans, but he was wearing a lightweight, short-sleeved, pattern-on-white, cotton button-up.
You're not on, Ami. She's right there. You're welcome to say goodbye to her yourself.
That's not gonna happen.
Stellan's attention on the man focused.
Fuck. You're out,
Stellan noted.
I'll fight for her in the pit, but unless I'm invited to sit at your table like tonight, gotta ask you not to call me. Can't do another scene with Six.
Stellan nodded.
I understand that.
Not that it wasn't good,
he assured.
It's because it was too. Today, quick thaw. It was all about heat.
Stellan fought his teeth clenching.
As I said, Ami, I understand.
Don't know how you can watch, friend.
Ami muttered.
Because she's not allowed to touch anyone but me,
he thought.
Because it makes her happy,
he said. Ami studied him intently. Then he jerked up his chin in understanding.
Yeah.
I can also understand you leaving without speaking with her, but she might not.
Ami took a moment to think things over. Then he said,
If it takes time for you to find someone who can hack it without getting in too deep, I'm on call. I'll keep my shit tight. But can't do it too often, Lang. She's yours. You get to keep that. I'm the one walking away. And I'm not so down with watching.
I understand that, too.
Ami's head swung toward Simone, and he murmured,
Guess I'll say goodnight.
That set Stellan again to fighting his teeth clenching.
Good night, Ami. Later, Lang.
Stellan watched Ami move toward the huddle of females that Ollie was dispersing, and he kept tight hold on a variety of reactions when he saw the warmth in Simone's face when she noticed Ami approaching. Fortunately, Ollie recruited Lee in the act of getting everyone to leave, and therefore this process didn't take very long. Indeed, within 20 minutes, he was standing at his front door saying farewell to Belle, Tiffany, Penn, and Shane, the last to leave. However, during this process, he noted that although Simone said her goodbyes and be safe driving homes with smiles, she didn't stand at his side where she belonged while he did the same.
The next time, he'd be certain to share that instruction.
He also noted that once she returned from standing by the pool, often her gaze would go to the staff Margarita had hired to come in late that afternoon to clear away the food, finish cooking the dinner Margarita had prepared, set the table, serve, clear away, and tidy up. In fact, Stellan saw one of the two who'd arrived go to Simone and say something, to which Simone nodded, and her gaze slid to Stellan before she disappeared with the woman, only to return not long later to stand removed while Stellan watched the last partygoers away. When he shut the door, he started right to her.
You all right?
He asked.
Yeah, you're, catering people or whatever. Got everything sorted. Did a sweep of the pool area and all.
They were ready to go. It's late. I didn't want to disturb you, so I gave them both a $50 tip so they could head home. This did not make Stellan happy. Therefore, he frowned down at her when he stopped in front of her.
You should have disturbed me,
he said.
It's all good. I'll give you the cash later.
It's all good, Stellan.
There was no reason discussing it. They had other, more important things to discuss.
Then do. He would simply give her the cash later.
Would you like another drink?
He asked. Are we negotiating this deal you've been talking about now? She asked back.
Yes,
he answered. Then yes, she replied. That made him grin.
Another martini?
He offered. She nodded. He went to the kitchen. He heard the sounds of her stilettos alternately hitting his tile, then disappearing as she moved with him and traversed tile and rugs. She stopped opposite the island to him, so he moved the bottles and shaker to her. He made her gin martini first, then the same for him with vodka. He said nothing while he did. She watched his hands the whole time he did. He wrapped his fingers around his martini glass, and after he'd taken a chill sip of the sharp drink, he murmured,
"Ready?"
Her brown eyes lifted to his. They were clear, not nervous, perhaps somewhat fatigued, which wasn't surprising, considering it was after 11 at night. But that was all. And that was good. She had no reason to be nervous with him, and she never would. Not at times like these. Other times, under his command, she'd relish the nerves. He'd see to it. Simone nodded. He took another sip before putting his glass down so that he could take her hand, fit it in the crook of his arm, take up his glass again, and start moving her to the stairs. "Where are these negotiations happening?" she asked when their direction became clear.
"My bedroom."
She hummed noncommittally.
"In front of the fire."
He carried on, starting the moving slowly up the stairs.
"You have a fireplace in your room?"
she asked.
"You didn't see it?"
"Sorry. I was too busy noticing your French count desk. I didn't notice you had a fireplace, too."
"My French count desk?"
he queried. "You have a desk in your bedroom?"
"I know."
"Only French counts have desks in their bedrooms."
"Really?"
he murmured, not hiding his amusement. "French counts, English barons, and you." Stellan started chuckling. "And when you say in front of the fire, do you mean an actual fire?" she asked.
"Of course,"
he answered. "No one lights a fire in their bedroom in June in Arizona, Stellan."
"I do."
"Yes," she whispered, her voice now sounding amused, but also soft, pensive. And Stellan had never heard it like that before. It was beautiful. "Only you," she finished. He said nothing more as he guided her into his room, straight to the couch in front of the fire, and let her go. He opened the drawer in the end table to get the remote that activated the fire, hit the buttons so it was burning as he wanted it, and returned it. He then sat down in the middle of the couch, separated from where she had seated herself, tucked tight into the corner.
All right. Maybe she was nervous and she was hiding it.
"Did you come up here and turn on the lights?" she asked, glancing around his room, which was lit softly with a few lamps.
"They're on timers,"
he answered. She looked to him. "Are they timed to turn off, too?"
"Only if I don't turn them off before they're timed to go off."
"So essentially even your bedroom is wired to welcome you." He raised his brows.
"Even my bedroom?"
She shrugged, looked to the fire, took a sip of her drink, and said, "You're rich. It shows. Like, in your face, it shows. But that doesn't mean it isn't nice. Gracious. Her gaze came back to him. When I walked in earlier, I thought it looked like your house was decorated in. Relax, I got you. That made Stellan burst out laughing. He was down to chuckling when he saw her again sipping her martini. Watching him laugh from under her lashes, and he replied with feeling,
I'm delighted you think that.
She swallowed her sip, took her glass from her lips, looked him in the eye, and declared,
We need to discuss on me.
Stellan felt a clutch of something unpleasant in his chest, a sour taste at the back of his tongue, and a low roar in his head. Earlier, he actually had been good watching Simone enjoy the toy that he himself had provided her. This was because he'd had practice. For months he'd watched her playing with her toys, biding his time, preparing, only going in when he was ready for the win. After she invited Ami to stay, and he saw them exchange a number of words over dinner, at the time that had not affected him overly much. But after Ami's hesitancy, even to say goodbye, to the dom who'd worked him in a way that had moved him, which was not Simone's normal technique, Stellan wasn't feeling as at ease about the situation. I asked him to stay for dinner because he seems freaking cool. When he's naked and hard and when he's not, she went on, these words not making Stellan any more at ease. Especially since she was finally right there, up in his room in front of a fire, looking exquisitely tempting, wearing what amounted to a collar, with a drink in her hand, him at her side, and their negotiation imminent. The negotiation of what could be the most important deal he'd brokered in his life. But she was talking about another man. So I need to get a sense of him when he's not in a scene, she continued, in order that we can figure out who to set him up with.
Who to set him up with?
Stellan's head twitched.
Sorry?
A mistress, she explained. I'm sensing he wants something long-term. Someone in the life, and his life. But I don't want to fix him up with someone who does his head in. So we have to vet them, carefully, and I'm totally drawing a blank. I haven't been paying a lot of attention to the new players at the Honey who came in since I was away. So we need to go to the club so you can give me the lowdown on them, and I can look them over. If there's no one that works, we might have to go to the Bolt to get a sense of things. No stone unturned, as it were.
You want to find a dom for Ami?
The words were expressed as a statement, even if they were a request for a confirmation. Well, yeah. I mean, it'll suck he gets claimed and won't be battling in the pit for me. So it'd be good we find one who's loaded, so she can pay for her throne and keep him down there, because I think he gets off on that. Or... Her lips turned up slightly. Since you're the big man there, maybe you can pull some strings. But she has to be right. I think some of the mistresses he's found haven't been good with him. So we have to find that perfect balance. Good for him in the scene, and not crazy psycho lady outside of it, or vice versa. Stellan regarded her. She held his regard for some time before she prompted, You in on doing this with me? She was not thinking about Ami and what they'd shared while she was sitting beside Stellan in front of a fire on a couch in his bedroom prior to talking about their future together. She wanted the man to have a decent woman in his life. She wanted to do something nice for a new friend.
Please come here.
He requested quietly. His request set her head to twitching, but otherwise, she didn't move.
Please, Simone.
It took her a moment, but finally she slid to him. He rounded her waist with an arm, and pulled her to him in a way she had no choice but to curl close, even so far as shifting a knee so it was resting on his thigh. At the same time, he lifted his feet and put them up on the table in front of the couch with his ankles crossed. This was much better, even though Simone did not relax in his hold, rest her head on his shoulder, cuddle into his side. She held, distant and stiff. He allowed that, took a sip of his martini, and murmured, "We'll find someone perfect for Ami."
"Cool," she muttered.
He decided not to share at that juncture what Ami had shared with him earlier. Instead, he pointed out,
"If we do, you'll lose him, darling, in more than just a bit."
"I don't have him anyway, and he wants someone to have him, and he's a good guy, so he should have what he wants."
"Then we'll help him find that."
"Thanks," she whispered.
"It'll be my pleasure,"
he replied.
She took a sip of her drink. Stellan breathed in her perfume. It was all her. Complicated, contradictory, full of musk and amber with a hint of pepper. Dark and forbidding, at the same time warm.
"Are we finished talking about Ami?"
he asked.
"Yes," she answered.
"So we can now discuss us."
There was hesitancy before she said,
"Okay.
Shall I propose my deal?"
Stellan had his eyes on her. Simone had her glass to her lips, her gaze to the fire, and she murmured,
"Knock yourself out."
Therefore, through a grin, he began,
"Tomorrow, I'd like to take you to your home, pick up enough things that you'll be fine being here for the next month."
Her head turned sharply his way so she could stare him in the eyes. Hers were stunned. He kept speaking.
"We'll move you in, and this is where you'll stay for a month. You'll work. I'll work. If you like, we can go to the club together, but you will not play, nor will I, with each other or anyone else. We can watch. We can have drinks and visit with our friends. But that's all. In the meantime, we'll share my home together. Eating, sleeping, fucking, living, except weekends. Weekends will be spent playing."
She got in. However, that was all he let her get in. He tightened his hold on her and spoke over her.
"By playing, I mean you'll be my Simone. That is, darling. I'll play with you any way I please, and you'll let me."
"You want me to move in for a month?" He found it fascinating that she sought confirmation on that point of the deal rather than the last.
"Preliminarily. After that month, we'll assess and see where we are."
"You want me to move in for a month," she stated, not a question this time.
"As you already know, I want to get to know you," he explained.
Her tone pitched higher and her body got tighter in his hold. "And you want to do that by having me move in?"
"I could ask you out to dinner,"
he pointed out the boring but obvious.
"I could ask you for a weekend away. I could find ways to waste all sorts of time dancing a tired, tedious dance. When I already know, I want to know more about you, everything actually. And I want to fuck you, and I want that very badly. I also want to play with you, and I want that very badly as well."
"I get the getting to know you concept, but Stellan, that's extreme."
"How?"
he asked, but didn't give her time to answer.
"It isn't like we'll be spending every moment of every day together. It also isn't like we'll be spending every moment together when we're both in this house. We'll sleep together, wake up together. I'll come home to you when your day is done before mine. You'll come home to me when it's the other way around."
"And we agree to this month, and I immediately get on your nerves. What happens then? I pack up and head home?" she asked.
"You won't immediately get on my nerves, Simone."
How do you know? He gave a slight shrug, took a sip of his martini, looked to the fire and answered,
I just do.
What if I pick my teeth after a meal? He turned his gaze back to her.
Do you?
I wouldn't know. I don't know all my annoying habits. Annoying habits aren't annoying to the person doing them, just the person who has to put up with them. He smiled at her.
I just had dinner with you, darling.
You didn't pick your teeth. You had guests. Maybe I'd do that after I eat in front of the TV.
I don't watch much TV, he told her.
There you go, she stated, like that was enough to prove they were incompatible.
Do you watch TV? He queried.
She looked to the fire. Not really. She looked back to him. But when I do, I sometimes eat in front of it.
To set your mind at ease?
I can assure you this doesn't fill me with revulsion. Okay, Stellan. Well, that tired and tedious dance people dance, they do it for a reason. You can get a sense if you want to have more time with someone by spending small blocks of it with them first. Anyone will get on your nerves if you go in gung-ho right away. He tipped his head to the side.
Do you date often?
She turned again to the fire.
That meant no. He'd already guessed that. Do you date at all?
He inquired, this with a good deal of curiosity. She took a sip of her drink.
Another no.
Stellan smiled again and gave her a squeeze.
Simone, honey, look at me.
He felt her take in a large breath before she did as he asked.
I haven't finished explaining the deal, he told her. She didn't hide her surprise or her alarm. There's more? He nodded.
God, she muttered.
You can't leave, and I can't ask you to leave, no matter what.
Her eyes got big. He'd never seen that expression on her face. And seeing it then, he hoped even more that their discussions didn't drone on so he could get her into bed.
Because Mistress Six was cold and removed. But Simone was incredibly endearing.
That's insane, Stellan, she said quietly.
Why? He asked.
It's insane you'd even ask why it's insane, she informed him.
How long have you wanted me, sweetheart?
He whispered, and had to lock his arm around her because her body jerked like she was going to bolt from the couch. Anchored to him, she escaped by turning again to the fire.
Answer me, Simone,
he said to her profile. She sipped a martini.
Simone, he said low. Answer me.
Why does it matter? She asked the fire. You know I do, so why does it matter when that started? It doesn't make what you're asking any less crazy.
Do you want flowers and chocolates and candlelit dinners where you carry an extra pair of panties in your purse with your toothbrush? Because you know you'll be sleeping beside me anyway, but you go home the next day for unnecessary reasons?
Her gaze came back to him. If I said yes, I want flowers and chocolates and candlelit dinners,
I'd give them to you. But when we came home after, we'd just be home.
We could end up hating each other, she declared.
We won't end up hating each other, he refuted.
If we do, what then? If we don't get along, what, Stellan? I lose you in the way I have you, altogether because of this crazy scheme that pushed us too far, way, way, way too fast.
And what if that doesn't happen, Simone? What if the exact opposite happens?
He retorted.
That was when it came. Not nerves, not more alarm. It was like her body petrified in his hold.
It was fear.
Darling, he whispered, sliding his arm up her back, curling her in, forcing her chest to his.